Sometimes you just need to sit quietly and pay attention to the wild world around you. Welcome to The Nature of Phenology, where we share the cycles and seasons of the outdoors. I'm your host, Hazel Stark. What a strange winter it's been. Admittedly, that's a phrase I've said every winter for the past several years, but it seems that each one is a different kind of strange from the last. We had so many warm spells and big rain events this year, especially along the coast, meaning we hardly had even a light covering of snow for much of the winter. That has had me feeling for not only the creatures that usually rely on camouflaging with a white background, like snowshoe hares and ermines, but also for the creatures that rely on the protection and warmth of the subnivian zone. While they may not be the most popular critter among folks with orchards, I found myself considering the plight of voles this winter. With a variety of small rodents being so common, we often don't take a closer look when we have the chance to see one up close, nor do many of us work to differentiate between the signs those different species leave behind. But voles are a relatively simple and satisfying small rodent to identify. They can be anywhere on the spectrum from brown to gray, can range from 4 to 8 inches long, including their notable short tails, and have short legs and ears that are mostly hidden in their fur. A quick glance at a vole might have you confusing them with a mouse or a shrew or even a mole. Mice have long tails, about half their body length, unlike the short tails of a vole. Shrews are notably smaller than the rest, with pointed snouts. Moles are built for digging underground, so have big front feet, tiny eyes, and no visible ears. Unlike moles, voles spend most of the time above ground. Their small stature that keeps them relatively hidden under grasses, however, means I rarely see voles themselves. But it is actually in the winter when I see their evidence most frequently. I was leading one of my weekly outdoor school programs for some Jonesport second graders behind their school last month, and while I was waiting for them to arrive, I noticed their whole outdoor classroom area was crisscrossed with lines in the snow that looked as if they were made by dragging a garden hose underneath the snow. The students noticed that the paths led into grassy areas at the edge of the forest, were a little over an inch wide, and seemed to be left by a very lightweight creature because the paths didn't sink far into the soft ground beneath. Snake? No, they're tucked away for the winter, not active. Squirrel? No, they are much bigger and leave hopping tracks. Rat? Also too big and not common in that area. Mouse? Maybe, but according to the tracking book, you can usually see evidence of their long tails dragging. These 7 and 8-year-olds had never heard of a vole before, but they did figure out that the paths must have been left by something small and probably similar to a mouse, which was a great guess. Because they eat plants, especially grasses, voles spend a lot of time in fields. They maintain trails by chewing down the vegetation so they have little runways that lead to their favorite spots. When the grasses die back in the winter, there is still plenty of food available. Seeds, tubers, the inner bark of various woody plants. So voles are able to stay active, relying on stored food from the fall and also foraging food through the winter. When there's a fluffy covering of snow, they thrive in the subnivian zone, that narrow space of warmer air between the surface of the ground and the snow cover, where they stay protected from the elements and from many predators. I wonder how vole populations have been influenced by this mild winter. So the next time you're outside, you can look for signs of voles. As the snow melts, their tunnels are revealed as slightly raised paths in the snow. Each vole has a range of only about a quarter acre, so if you have orchard trees you want to protect through the leaner time of the winter, seeing these tunnels in your yard may suggest that you install some vole-proof fencing around your woody plants. Voles are native species and an important part of the food chain, so as usual, poisoning them is not a good idea. You can download this episode and find a link to the transcript, photos, information about podcasting, and more by visiting archives.weru.org. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another dive into the nature of phenology.